Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a really important topic, celiac disease, and what it actually means to live gluten-free.
Yeah, and we've got this great source to guide us, to personal blog, Paoli e Sandro, In Viaggio Senza Glutine. Their personal stories, info, recipes, even travel tips. Really comprehensive.
It really does. So our mission today, I guess, is to kind of unpack their experience, pull out the essential facts about celiac, understand the practical side of going gluten-free.
And also dig into this specific place they mention, Pra della Fame. A bit of a surprise find in there.
Okay, let's start with Paola's own story. She talks about this intense stomach pain and bloating. I think the quote was, "It hit her with the speed of the Incredible Hulk when he gets angry."
Wow, that's vivid.
Right. And after months of tests, she finally learned it was a protein intolerance, specifically to gluten.
And the site explains what that means, right? Celiac disease, it's a chronic autoimmune condition. It happens in folks who are genetically predisposed, and boom, it gets triggered by eating gluten.
Gluten being the protein in, what is it, wheat, barley, rye.
Exactly. Spelt kamut oats. Though oats can sometimes be okay if certified and tritical too.
So it's not just like my tummy hurts a bit, it's the immune system involved.
Precisely. When someone with celiac eats gluten, their immune system basically makes a mistake. It attacks the lining of the small intestine.
And that's bad
Well,
because.
that lining has these little finger-like things, villi, that soak up all the nutrients from food. If they get damaged, your body just can't absorb what it needs.
Okay. So it's an intolerance, but it's autoimmune, not an allergy.
Correct. And the source makes an interesting point. Once it's diagnosed and you're managing it, they sort of frame it less as a disease and more like a condition of life.
That's a subtle shift, isn't it? From disease to condition of life. What do you think that implies, practically speaking?
Well, I think it suggests that, yeah, the diagnosis and the initial learning curve are tough, definitely. But eventually, living gluten-free becomes your normal. It takes constant vigilance, sure, but maybe it's not this active battle anymore. It's just how you operate day to day.
Right, the new normal.
Yeah.
Now, Paola's Hulk symptoms sound pretty intense, but the source says symptoms can actually be, well, all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just the obvious gut stuff like, chronic diarrhea, constipation, bloating, pain. They list a whole range of other things you might not immediately connect to your digestive system.
Like what, for instance?
Things like just feeling wiped out all the time, chronic fatigue, headaches, mouth sores, those little aphthi, even a specific skin rash, dermatitis herpetiformis,
Wow.
and neurological issues too, like numbness or tingling. Plus, because you're not absorbing nutrients well, you can get anemia from low iron or even osteoporosis. It can impact fertility too. It shows how that gut damage really ripples outwards.
It sounds like diagnosis could be a bit tricky then if the signs are so varied. How do they describe actually getting diagnosed?
Yeah, it can be. They outline a pretty standard process, though. It usually kicks off with blood tests.
Okay.
They look for specific antibodies, like anti-transglutaminase IgA and anti-endomysio IgA, basically markers that your body might produce if you have celiac and you're eating gluten.
Right, so specific blood markers first. What's next, according to the source?
Confirmation usually involves an intestinal biopsy.
Okay.
That's done with an endoscopy. They take tiny samples of tissue from the small intestine. Then they look at those samples under a microscope for that characteristic damage to the villi.
Gotcha. And they mentioned genetic tests too. What's the deal with those?
Yeah, they did. Genetic tests can check if you carry the HLA-DQ2 or HLA-DQ8 genes, which are linked to a higher risk. But, and this is important, the source stresses that just having the genes doesn't mean you have celiac disease. Lots of people have them and are perfectly fine. So the genes show susceptibility, not a definite diagnosis.
Okay, so blood tests, biopsy, maybe genetic tests for context. Once you have that diagnosis, the source is really clear. There's basically one treatment. A strict, lifelong, gluten-free diet. That's it. There's no pill. You have to remove the trigger completely.
Well, what does strict really mean in practice?
It means avoiding all foods and drinks with wheat, barley, rye, spelt, kamut, triticale, and usually oats, unless they're certified gluten-free because of cross-contamination risks.
Okay.
And a massive part of it, they emphasize, is learning to read food labels like a hawk. Gluten hides everywhere, sauces, soups, dressings, even some medications or supplements. And then there's preventing cross-contamination using separate chopping boards, toasters, utensils. It's a whole process, especially when you're starting out.
That sounds incredibly challenging. It's way more than just skipping bread, isn't it?
Oh, totally. The source definitely acknowledges it's daunting at first, but they also say it does get easier. You learn the ropes, find safe products.
Right. They mention things like support groups, getting advice from dietitians, and specifically in Italy, they highlight the AIC, the Italian Celiac Association, which puts out this directory, the Prontuario.
Prontuario.
Yeah, it's basically a regularly updated list of certified safe foods available digitally. Having a resource like that must be, well, a lifesaver.
I can imagine. And, you know, beyond just the practical food stuff, the source mentioned something deeper, this symbolic side of giving up these staple foods.
Yeah, that was a really interesting point, especially, you know, in places where pasta and bread are so central to the culture, to family meals, social life. Cutting those out isn't just about diet. It's a social shift, an emotional one, too. Figuring that out is part of the journey.
And that difficulty navigating food and social situations definitely spills over into travel, right? Their site has whole sections on living without gluten and G-free travel.
Absolutely. Eating out safely when you're away from home, restaurants, cafes, hotels, that can be a real minefield.
Yeah.
Are the staff knowledgeable? Is the kitchen careful about cross-contamination? It's a constant worry.
Yeah.
So their G-free section aims to help with that, offering tips, advice, maybe even specific place recommendations.
Which brings us to the specific spot they highlight, doesn't it? Prat de la Fame. It connects the travel challenge with finding cool places.
Exactly. Prat de la Fame. It's in Tignal, right on the western side of Lake Garda in Italy.
Yeah.
And the source describes it as historically and culturally pretty significant.
Prat de la Fame. The name itself is kind of intense. What does it mean again?
It means field of hunger.
Wow. Why?
Well, the source says it reflects tough economic times in the past. There's this story about sailors or navigators on the lake getting stuck near there because of the currents.
They're stranded.
Yeah, stranded. No food. They apparently had to scramble up this really steep path, which, by the way, the source says is still there and offers amazing views if you tackle it to get to the village for help. Hence, field of hunger.
That's quite a backstory. So people were literally hungry there. But today, the focus is different, right? Something about lemons.
Yes, the Lemonia. The right. Lemon house.
A lemon house in the field of hunger. Okay, tell me about that.
It turns out that specific spot has this microclimate that was, like, perfect for growing lemons, mm-hmm. historically. It became a big deal for the local economy.
Yeah.
And the Lemonia is this traditional structure, stone walls, wooden beams, built specifically to shelter the lemon trees during winter. Like a big old greenhouse for citrus.
So a historical greenhouse built by...
The Persini family, according to the source, owned the land from the mid-1700s and built these lemon gardens. But eventually, especially after a road was built nearby,
yeah.
they kind of fell into disrepair.
Okay. But they were restored.
Yes. In the 1980s, the local community, the community of Montana of the park there, started a restoration project.
That's great.
They fixed up the structure, planted like 80 to 100 new lemon trees. So today, it's partly an eco-museum showing the old ways of growing lemons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also still a working orchard.
Still producing lemons. What happens with them?
Yeah, about 100 trees. They have a main harvest in May from the previous year's flowers. And then apparently they keep flowering and harvesting monthly right through to October.
Wow.
Historically, these Garda lemons were top quality, sold well in Austria and Germany, really boosted the economy. Now, the source is the lemons from the restored Lemonia are actually given to charity.
That's a lovely touch. So this place, Prat de la Fame, it kind of embodies this whole cycle of hardship, adaptation, cultivation.
Yeah, and apparently even the poet Goethe was impressed by the ruins of the original gardens way back. The source really recommends visiting if you're near Lake Garda. A must-see, they say.
It feels like a good example of how, even if you're managing something like celiac disease while traveling, you can still find these really unique historical spots.
Definitely. It fits with that idea of celiac being a condition of life you manage, not something that has to stop you from exploring or appreciating culture and history.
We should probably touch on the flip side briefly, though. The source does mention what happens if celiac isn't managed, the potential complications.
Right. And it's serious stuff. It really underscores why getting diagnosed and sticking to that strict diet is so vital.
What kind of things?
Well, untreated, the ongoing intestinal damage can lead to severe malnutrition, obviously.
Right.
Chronic deficiencies in vitamins and minerals. That can cause things like osteoporosis. It also increases the risk of developing other autoimmune diseases.
Okay.
And significantly, there's a higher risk of certain cancers, particularly intestinal lymphoma.
So it really drives home that managing it isn't optional. While it becomes a manageable condition, ignoring it has really severe consequences.
Exactly. That dietary vigilance isn't just for comfort. It's a medical necessity.
Okay. So looking back at our deep dive into the source, we've really journeyed from understanding what celiac disease is, its effects, the real dedication needed for the gluten-free diet, all the way to seeing how people like Paula and Sandro navigate this and still discover these amazing historical places like those resilient lemon gardens at Prat de la Femme.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it, how managing something like celiac seems to fundamentally change your relationship with food, with your environment. It requires this constant awareness, this vigilance. But maybe it also fosters a different kind of discovery, an appreciation for finding safe havens or uncovering hidden histories like those lemon houses that weathered their own hard times.
That's a great point. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? How does really understanding an invisible challenge someone else faces, like managing a condition like this, maybe change how you look at everyday things?
Yeah, like food or choosing a restaurant or even planning a simple trip.
Exactly. What places, what hidden stories might we all be missing if we don't sometimes look through a lens shaped by, I don't know, necessity or resilience? Something to maybe chew on until our next deep dive.